Now the epistle for the third Sunday after Easter is taken from the epistle of St. Peter. The first epistle of St. Peter, the second chapter. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims to refrain yourselves from carnal desires, which war against the soul, having your conversation good among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by the good works which they shall behold in you glorify God in the day of visitation. Be ye subject therefore to every human creature for God's sake, whether it be to the king as excelling, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, or for the praise of the good. For so is the will of God, that by doing well you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not as making liberty a cloak for malice, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thanksworthy in Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the 16th chapter. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then some of his disciples said one to another, "What is this that he saith to us, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father?' They said therefore, 'What is this that he saith, 'A little while'? We know not what he speaketh." And Jesus knew that they had a mind to ask him, and he said to them, "Of this do you inquire among yourselves, because I said, 'A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me.' Amen, amen, I say to you, that you shall lament and weep, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be made sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she hath brought forth the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. So also you now indeed have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. You now indeed have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. During the Lenten season, Holy Mother the Church wants us to focus on our Lord's suffering and his death. However, during the Easter time, as she points to the risen Christ about to ascend to heaven, she puts before our minds the joys of heaven that we are to enjoy. Yet, have you noticed that it is easier to picture our Lord's passion than it is to picture heaven? We can imagine pains because we too have hurts and hardships. But we can never picture heaven as it really is, because we have never experienced anything like it. In trying to understand heaven, there are clichés, such as, "Heaven is completely inconceivable," "It is greater than we can imagine," or "It is beyond our wildest dreams." Well, there is a reason why these clichés are used and said. But first, let me explain why we should try to think of heaven in the first place. The consideration of heaven is not only a consolation in our struggles, but it can also help motivate us to persevere. Thinking of our reward can help us to stay out of sin, to fight our temptations, to practice virtue during our day, and to put our whole lives in perspective. But what do we know of heaven? And what can we know of heaven? Well, first, we know it exists. Just one example is when our Lord told us, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I shall go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be." There are many other proofs of heaven in the Bible, from prophecies, promises of God, and from the words of our Lord and the apostles. We also are able to tell what heaven is, somewhat of a definition. We know it is the reward of the just. It is eternal happiness. Heaven is not just a spiritual state, but it is also a physical place. We have certitude that our Lord and our Lady are there right now, body and soul. And that after the general judgment, all the just will be present there, body and soul as well. However, my dear faithful, beyond the existence of heaven and what it is, we do not know much. As long as we are here on earth and suffer from all the effects of original sin, we cannot fully comprehend the joys of heaven. Many of the saints throughout the course of history have been given glimpses of heaven, and they have tried giving some kind of description to share the wonder and the joy, but always they say that the delights in heaven are beyond words. The reason, though, is quite rational, that we are finite human beings, having thoughts of darkened intellects, and we can express only the words of men. But we are trying to describe heaven, the eternal joy and infinite good, which is completely out of our capacity. Perhaps an analogy would help explain this deficiency of ours. Our finite minds trying to describe infinite happiness is similar to an animal. Take your dog, for instance, trying to play chess. It is simply beyond the capacity of a dog to use reason, to try to castle someone, to do a fool's mate in chess, or to put someone in check. And so, it is simply beyond human capacity, the capacity of the human mind, to try to comprehend the eternal and sublime kingdom of God in heaven. Keeping this utter deficiency in mind, it is nonetheless efficacious to think of the joys of heaven and to use them as motivation to help us get there. Now, the most sublime joy of heaven is, of course, the beatific vision, which is the most incomprehensible and abstract of all the joys. It is seeing God face to face in all His glory, His beauty and goodness. We are made by God and for God. We spend our whole lives trying to fill that hole in our heart for happiness, seeking true happiness and peace. As St. Augustine says, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in Thee, O God." And in heaven, we finally meet Him. Our heart at last has the answer and fulfillment of all its desires. being with God who loves us more than anyone on earth loves us. Heaven is also being in the company of our Blessed Mother, the greatest saints such as Saint Joseph, Saint Peter, Saint Paul. We can ask them any question we want. Saint Mary Magdalene will be there, Saint Therese, Saint Joan of Arc. Think of the stories that they will tell us. Besides this, and besides having the attributes of a glorified body with no more aches or pains, no more blemishes or imperfections, besides all of this, whatever will make you happy, you will have in heaven. The longings of your heart, you will at last find contentedness. If you like to relax, to get some rest, to spend your time on a hammock, perhaps, the greatest hammocks are in heaven, with just the right amount of shade. In heaven, no alarm clocks. There will be no conflict, no difficult situations or difficult people. Or if you like to work, some people do like to work, to accomplish and achieve goals, to put check marks on your to-do list, there will be for you no lack of projects. If on earth you are plagued with worries and anxiety, in paradise your mind will finally be at peace, at ease, silent and tranquil, like never before. If you enjoy merrymaking, in heaven you will experience the best and most enjoyable games, feasts and celebrations without any cleanup afterward. And none of this will ever grow old. The first moment you walk into the gates of heaven, St. Peter lets you right in, that first moment will be as new and wonderful as will be in 100 million years. Complete delight. We can try to describe heaven in the most splendid wording and imagery possible, but even so, this doesn't begin to compare with the reality. The Apostle St. Paul was taken up to the third heaven. God gave him a glimpse of heaven. But he knew anything that he said wouldn't measure up. It wouldn't be sufficient or be enough. And so trying to give to the Christians some idea of heaven, he put his description in the negative, actually. He knew that positively, in English grammar, that positively, if he said any adjective or anything positive, it wouldn't measure up. So he put it in the negative. He said, "What eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, what things God hath prepared for them that love him." St. Paul, the Apostle, his only description is by saying that no description could come close. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man or mind what God has prepared for us. Those striving to be saints will endure any sorrow in order to obtain that eternal joy. Our Lord promised in today's gospel, he told us the truth and he foretold the future, "You now indeed have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man shall take from you." The God-man is conceding, he's granting, "I know you have sorrows, I know you have difficulties, but if you bear up with those, and if you persevere, you will rejoice when I wipe away all those sorrows." His promise makes us generously answer back to him, "Okay, Lord, so how do I do it? How do I reach heaven?" And in the gospel, a young Jewish lawyer asked our Lord that very same question. He asked, "Master, what must I do to to obtain eternal life. And the first thing our Lord answered was, if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. The answer to the lawyer is the same answer to us. If you want to go to heaven, follow the commandments. When you are tempted, my dear faithful, when you are distracted by the pleasures of this earth, or when you are weighed down by worries and discouragement, think of the joys of heaven. And then, to reach that goal, follow the commandments. Consider heaven, my dear faithful, when earth becomes too hard. Persevere, for if you are aiming for that one target and chase after it with all your might, and you put in that effort, you will certainly advance toward your goal. And what more can you ask for, and what greater reward could you imagine than a mansion prepared for you by our Lord God Himself, where you can be in the company of the Sacred Heart and the Blessed Mother for all eternity. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.